Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 3rd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here.
As always, so glad to have you and so glad to have those that join us in the live chat. Always look forward to seeing you and always want to throw a shout out to those that take the time out of their weeks to catch up with us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to our broadcast tonight, ICMH offers other educational programs you can find at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And of course, as always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, very happy. It is the first Wednesday of the month. That means we are welcoming Dr. Doug Kelly. Thank you, and welcome.
Hey, Dr. Kelly.
Hi, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. It's good to be with you yet again on this first Wednesday of the month. And I have chosen for the topic tonight, beating the tough times with a stick. Okay, that last part wasn't really part of it.
But a metaphorical stick.
But it's, yeah.
How big of a stick?
Well, after tonight, it won't need a big stick, right?
Oh, good.
Got to be positive, right? So let's talk about it. You know, the set the stage here. A lot of people around the world are hurting. You know, there's added fear, confusion, uncertainty in the world these days. I mean, and if you've heard me before talk about it and write about it, it's same stuff, different decade. But I get why a lot of people feel like the current times are tough, you know, with the authoritarian regimes around the world and hurting people and the wars and stuff going on. But again, I want to stress that there have been decades with wars in them too. So we got to keep things in perspective. But what I want to talk about is, you know, you're going through some tough times. We all go through tough times now and then. And sometimes we wonder, you know, how can we get rid of those tough times? You know, what can we do about it? So I wanted to offer a few points that might help to change your perspective or help you to get a healthier perspective on what exactly it all means. When you have tough times, we often characterize it as adversity. And in my opinion, my definition of adversity is simply this. Things are in a state of disorder. So if you go into a cluttered room, you know, everything's all around the, you know, messed up and thrown around and all that. Well, that's a state of disorder. And you can liken that to adversity. And so how do you get rid of adversity? You put things back in their proper order. And so if you do that, the adversity will fade away. So if you're going through tough times, through adversity, the question is, what is in a state of disorder? And you have to think about it. You ponder it. You know, you think it through. What would need to change to put things back in their proper order? Now, there's not one answer to that question because, you know, there's all kinds of circumstances and everything, but that's where you start. How do I put things back in their proper order? Because once you do, then the adversity will fade away. And in the process, you get to learn lessons. And that's what life is about, learning lessons, learning how to be adversity free to the extent possible. Now, I realize that there are circumstances that can arise that due to nobody's fault, or, you know, in particular, or not due to your fault, but it just happened. I know it can happen. So that it doesn't really change anything. What needs to be put back into its proper order? And so that then starts the thought process, creative problem solving. And so when you think about creative problem solving, there's more to it. Now, let me give you an illustration. You know, we're all familiar with, you know, the house flies flying at the window. And then, you know, you look at the windowsill and there's a bunch of dead flies there. And they're beating their wings against that glass trying to get outside. And isn't it amazing to know that all that fly had to do was turn around 180 degrees and fly through the open door behind it? How many times have you tried to let a bug out a window or something? They're not smart, okay? We're smarter than a fly. We're smarter than bugs. And so sometimes you got to paradox it. That's what I call it. Do a 180. And so you look for solutions that may not seem likely. You know, and you can start with this question: what should I not do to solve this problem? And you write it down. What else should I not do to solve this problem? And you start your thought process that way, creative problem solving. You think it through. You write these potential solutions or not solutions down and see where that takes you. But again, remember, what is the state of disorder? What's not in its proper order? And how do I get things back in their proper order? I'll pause for a moment. Any thoughts you want to share or comment on?
Go ahead, Michael.
I've been thinking a lot of while you've been talking about putting things back in their proper order. And I think for some of us, the world is a chaotic place. It always has been, and it always will be to varying degrees. It ebbs and flows. But one thing that a lot of us crave is some kind of sense of control over the world around us. Now, the truth is, we're never going to really have that in its entirety. We're not going to be able to control everything. But I think for some things that are kind of a little bit more outside of us, you know, things are happening in the world you're talking about, you know, we've had wars in every decade. Things happen every decade, very true. But what are we doing to add to the woodpile is a, you know, to reference a common saying that we have here. What are we doing to help be part of the solution? There's something that popped in my head when you were talking earlier on, and I don't know why, but I want to see if we can't finagle it into this discussion. And, you know, my father, he's a great man. I wish he was here with us, but I remember in his office, he had this...
What a guy.
I'm telling you. Just... Yeah, you know, south of the earth, this guy, south of the earth. There was a plaque on your office wall. It was a speech, a short little snippet of a speech from Theodore Roosevelt. And it goes as, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. No, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming, but who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows that in the end he has the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst If he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. And I'm going to say that has always been one of my favorite quotes, and I'm going to try and tie it into this, that be an active participant in your life. Don't let life happen to you. Put things back in their proper order. You know, when adversity happens, don't react, but take the reins and see what can you I do meaningfully, even if it's not a lot, that's going to start pointing me back in the right direction. You know, can I start rowing back against the current in the right direction I need to go, or with the current to a better destination? But these are the thoughts that have been good swirling points. Around my head while you've been talking.
Good
points. Anything you wanted to add, Dr. Vicky, before
no,
I...
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Good segue. Good segue into the next part. Okay, so the idea, again, is put things back in their proper order. And a lot of times when we're trying to solve problems, you know, we're saying, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And we almost get frozen. You know, the emotions can freeze us, so to speak, freeze our thinking. So what do I do is not the best question to ask. If you look at your issue, your adversity, your problem, your tough times, whatever it is, the best question to ask is, what can I do? What can I do? So in the future, when you're trying to solve a problem, don't say, what do I do? Say, what can I do? List your options. What are the possible things you can do to resolve the adversity, to beat the tough times? And then you'll have more ideas because, yeah, and let me just switch gears slightly here. Look, I wish I had some magic pearls of wisdom, some magic pill, some magic bullet, whatever you want to call it, to offer you to say, oh, do this and your problems will cure themselves. I really wish I had something like that. And the best I can do is what I'm giving you now, because there are no magical answers, because, you know, we're where we at because of the choices we've made. I'm where I'm at because of the choices I've made. The same is true for every single person. We are where we are at because of the choices we made. And some of those choices were good choices and some were not so good choices, but we live and we learn. We have to learn the lessons along the way, and then we change, we adjust, and we make new decisions based on new information. And in the process, we are now restoring order to our lives, to the situation, whatever it may be. That's what it is. You know, life is going to go on, and that's another huge point here. Just because there might be some uncertainty and fear and stuff going on in the world, and I hear it, I see it on the line, and a lot of people are afraid, this, that, the other thing. But there's also a lot of stories of people taking their power back, and that is the cure-all to anything that ails you. Take your power back. You know, you take control over what you can control, like Michael was saying, and you take your power back. Your life has to go on. You can't stop. You can't give up hope. You know, once you give up hope, all is lost. And, you know, one of the cards, the self-discovery cards that was in this week's student newsletters was, I'm going to show it here. It's the wild card number 7, which is hope. And, you know, hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and the last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope nor encourage codependent hope. So the point is here is we can't lose hope. Life is going to continue on. Life goes on. Everything works out in the end. It just does. And so don't let what's going on in the world get you down. If you are a student at IMHS or TFU and you still haven't completed your degree, get back to it. Go and immerse yourself back in your studies, because that's an accomplishment. You know, when you put doctor in front of your name, that's an accomplishment, and that's something to be proud of. That's something to pat yourself on the back for, and that you can do that, that you didn't let life take your joys away. You didn't let life kill your hope. You didn't let life kill your ambition. You didn't let life kill your joy. Don't let that happen. So whatever it is you're doing, keep doing it and do more of it. And as Michael said earlier, that's probably the last major point I have, is if you want to clear yourself up, if you want to get past your problems while you still are trying to figure out how to restore order to your adversity, go put yourself out there. Deliver greatness to the world. Pay it forward in some way. Look for ways every day to pay it forward, whatever that is for you in your circumstances. Look for opportunities. And one of the biggest ways that we can deliver greatness to the world and pay it forward is to give somebody an upbuilding comment or the good word, you know. Say something encouraging and kind and uplifting. And as a matter of your daily experience, if somebody has a victory that they're saying, hey, this happened to me and I'm so happy, be happy with them. And cheer them on, and congratulate them. And, you know, it's like I've heard this before, and it's some semblance of the way to keep your joy is to give it away, right? The way to keep your happiness is to give it away. So go find people who need that uplifting word, that encouraging word, and give it to them. Be upbeat and positive. Don't let life destroy you. Don't let the worries and concerns of this world destroy you. You have any idea how impossible the odds are that you're even alive? Of all the people, that all your ancestors, all those people, all back thousands of generations, they survived all kinds of stuff, far worse than perhaps we're going through. Starvation and all kinds of stuff that they had to face thousands of generations all the way back. So the odds of you being here are astronomical. And so don't throw that away. That's something to be happy about, something to hold precious. Comments?
Well, as you're talking, I'm thinking about people who face challenges that, you know, they didn't do anything. You know what I mean? It's like life, like, yes, you made decisions to get there, but you didn't expect that to happen or these circumstances would happen. You know, and what comes to mind right now is Dr. Jerry, for instance. She's doing chemotherapy again. So that's why she hasn't been with us for a while. Did she? Because she was doing another today. Round. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's done with it now, and it went well.
Good. When these things happen, and they do, and they likely will, not everybody gets cancer, but I'm just saying any number of things. I have a neighbor who's, you know, freaking out over a lump on the side of her neck, and she's 65. And never been sick a day in her life. Well, that's a shock to her system, you know. And I say, oh, yeah, you're going to be okay. It's all right. Just chill out and you take it on. And part of me, the other part of me is saying, well, something to do, you know. And it gets our focus pointed in another direction. Instead of outside the self, it's inside the self. So it's I mean, is it fun? No. Is it painful at times? Yes, absolutely. But it's the will of spirit and that hopefulness that lives within us that keeps us moving, that keeps us moving forward. Like that's the hope in us is what says, I need to go to the doctor, I need to get treatment, I need to do this, and helps that energy go forward. Otherwise, we would just collapse and say, okay, it's over. So yeah. it's that will of spirit. And so no matter what happens, in life, and maybe it's through no fault of your own. Because some of the world can be chaos, and you know, we're crossing paths with all kinds of energies all the time. Then you just say something to do, you know, and but you keep moving forward, as Dr. Kelly is saying. You know, it's and sometimes in the darkest places you see the brightest lights.
Yeah, well put. So I hope some of these comments, ideas have helped, you know, and just to reiterate, sum them up, you know, adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. If you are going through adversity, figure out what needs to be put back in its proper order, much like cleaning up a cluttered room, so to speak. You know, and remember that don't say or ask, what do I do? What do I do? Ask, what can I do? What are my options? And try to go at it with a level head and no emotions. And remember that the solution you're looking for may lie outside of your belief system. That was one of the most biggest, largest, most profound realizations I had many decades ago. The solution that I was looking for was outside my belief system. I had to adjust my belief system. And then I found the solution. I mean, that's a huge point right there. So what can I do? Don't forget to paradox it. What shouldn't I do? You know, come at it 180 degrees, spin around. What shouldn't I do? Write them all down. It should give you a good list of some ideas. Then those ideas will then stir up yet further ideas. And then don't forget to go and give it away. Go help people. Go be upbuilding to other people. Deliver your greatness to the world. And pay it forward in some way every day if you can. At any rate, I hope that some of this information has at least been encouraging to you, because, you know, the very fact that you're listening to this program, in my opinion, you deserve a huge pat on the back, because all of the stuff we talk about and all the stuff I write about and I have taught for years and years and years, that all came at a huge cost. Those are all lessons I had to learn firsthand, and you know, there was nobody holding my hand or anything like that. I had to figure it out. You can figure it out too. Remember, don't ask how, you know, don't say that's too hard. Ask how hard can it be? You can do this. You can do anything you want. And so I commend you for listening to this live program or the archive program, because there's tidbits, there's nuggets in these programs that will help to brighten your day and lighten your load. At any rate, I appreciate your kind attention, and I will look forward to seeing everyone again on the first Wednesday of next month. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Dr. Douglas Kelly. I appreciate you being here.
It's always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, I tried to say no, but, you know, the boss overrid me.
That's funny. You know, I'd like to throw in that Audra has said in the chat, she appreciates us speaking about hope. She was just talking to her son the other day about having something to look forward to or a future goal. It's what keeps her and a lot of other people going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, absolutely. You know, Kevin is asking, though, if you're still there, Dr. Kelly, how do we reconcile this with the concept of determinism and predestination? Sometimes I think it's all planned out, the good and the bad.
Well, determinism is just that, and frankly, so is predestination. It's all the same thing. I personally don't buy into it because I have no reason to. You know, I mean, you guys talked about determinism and free will last week, and free will I fervently believe in, and you know, there's a lot of critics of free will. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not been my experience. We all have free will, provided it's on the menu. That's just the best analogy I've ever come across. If it's on the menu, then I have free will. I can't fly like Superman because it's not on the menu, but I can fly in an airplane. You see, so that's, I don't have a lot to say about that, but determinism and predestination, it smacks to me of the religion of scientism. you know, materialism, determinism. It's just, that's why this organization is not secular humanism. That's why I had to deviate from, you know, I love humanism, but secular humanism doesn't allow for a whole lot. You know, it's, if it's not black and white and on paper, it doesn't exist. And yet metaphysical humanism allows for possibilities. It recognizes the role consciousness has in mitigating the evil universe, you know, because the universe doesn't care whether you live or die. But consciousness can mitigate that. Consciousness is the gas that fuels everything. And so that's metaphysical humanism. And that means that we have free will as long as it's on the menu. And as far as everything being predetermined or predestined, I can't buy into that because it just doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know if that helps, but that's my.
Well, I think part of us, if I could throw it in, part of us, we decide our behavior. And that's not predetermined if we're deciding our own mannerisms, there's things that are genetic, but if I'm determining myself as a human being, that means I have free will within myself to recreate.
It's a give and take, because I understand the argument, and you could even make a free will argument while being a strictly atheist, which I'm not. I don't think any of us are. Agnostic, and this metaphysical humanism is more open and more thoughtful. But the point being, the idea is that because of our genetics, because of these predispositions, because of, I think the biggest single factor is the society and culture you're born into dictate your values more than thoughtful choice. And for a lot of people, that is true, until you also factor in that it's both. There are people that, yes, will follow the society that they're born into, and they will not reach that level of awareness to where they can critically think and challenge those preconceived narratives that they've been raised with. Let me finish. There are always going to be those people that push beyond that, that take society further, that achieve that level of awareness. There are always going to be the variables that get thrown in that just throw the wrench in the gears of that idea of predeterminism to me. So I understand the argument where they're coming from, but it does not meet the standards of it. It doesn't explain the fact that, you know, we can change. We can verify that we can change through willpower. Will has a measurable effect. So I think even from a material standpoint, determinism does not hold up. But that's just my two cents on that.
Well, I fully agree with you, Michael, but I also think that curiosity is a key factor, and we can decide to be curious enough to change. And historically, we have loads of people who continue to change themselves and societies based on a curiosity.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And I think in that is a free will also. So just
ultimately,
throwing my ex. Yeah, two bits.
All right. Well, I'm going to take my leave, and I hope everybody has a great night. See you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
But, it has been a great discussion. I was just going to say it's probably that time, but didn't mean to cut you off there, Dr. Vicky.
No, it's all right. I was just going to say, if anybody would like us to pull some cards for you tonight, put your name in the chat.
And the first person to throw their name in gets a card, but nobody else. We have to make it very rare. It makes it special for that person that gets there first. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But, while we're waiting, throw your name in if you want some cards. I got a few pulled like I've been doing. I pull a run, and it's kind of interesting to see who falls into what pattern. I will say this, life is complex and complicated and messy and wonderful. I love this discussion about hope. I'm glad that people took some great stuff away from it. And, I took something away from it, so it's been a good time.
All right, well, Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card for Donna is up first, and then I'll draw a tarot card and see what kind of support energy is there.
Perfect. Well, Donna, you get a wild card. You get wild card number one. It's paradox, my favorite, and just what we were talking about. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus, new perspectives are discovered. That's a good one.
Well, it is, and it makes sense when paired with the Eight of Spades or the, you know, Eight of Swords. The Eight of Swords in and of itself is kind of when your hands are tied, when something isn't in your control, so to speak. Then you have to use your intuition. It's what I call one of the back cards. So kind of supporting that paradox, that might be in what Dr. Kelly was saying earlier, an answer might be outside your belief system or outside your regular programming, if you will. Oh, and you had, Wendy says that you had paradox back in January and in March. Now that's interesting. So I'm saying there's just a shift here to see something another way, Donna. Then there's your solution. So meanwhile, use your instincts, use your intuition, and you got to just feel your way through it. So you might not have an intellectual answer today, but it's going to come to you. So.
I like it. All right, we have Dr. Kevin next. And Dr. Kevin, welcome back. I have for you tonight number 18, evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change those situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. And thus, entropy is lowered.
Well, this is in reference to a female energy in your life, Kevin, the Queen of Wands. Changes, bringing changes, talking about changes. And the first thing that comes to mind is you might be sharing ideas. This might be with your partner or some other, you know, feminine energy in your life for where to go next. So I'm hearing some brainstorming, collaborating, and I feel wisdom in her words. So I hope I'm right on this one. I'm hearing some good thoughts, and it's something maybe just to, you know, give an extra interest to. So I hope that makes sense to you.
All right. And we have Dr. Jeff next, Blind Outdoorsman on Facebook. Check him out. Dr. Jeff, welcome. I got for you tonight number 32, Sympathy and Empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, which is relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so. Love it.
Wow, I don't think we pulled that card in a long time. At the Emperor. I like that, Jeff. You're coming into your own and distinguishing different emotions, like being able to relate to others. And I think you're getting a grip or really have gotten to a root of what you want to share and how. And I think that's really cool because that Emperor, man, he knows who he is. He has his power back, if you will. And he also knows how to delegate. He knows how to grow things, be the overseer, and got a handle on it. So I think that something clicked for you, maybe, in a new way. So I think that's really cool. I hope that makes sense for you.
All right.
Donna, if I can just say, Donna's saying she'll have to think about where that's showing up in her life. It may be something that hasn't quite happened yet, Donna. So, you know, sometimes I can be a little bit ahead of myself. So paradox in that Eight of Spades. So a situation that you can't control, maybe something. We'll see. And that's not to say I can't be wrong, Michael.
Well, I don't know that that's possible. But, hey, you know, first time for everything. But, all right.
We have Audra next.
Audra, welcome. I have for you tonight number 6. Hold on, let me grab that back in the book. Boundaries, number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself, but equally it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is the mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me? I like it.
Oh, I do too. With the Queen of Diamonds? Oh, Queen of Pentacles. I think you found yourself too, Audra. You know, I think she was mentioning earlier that her staffing is nearly fulfilled at work and getting back to her studies. And I think that kind of it could play into this. But still in matters of work and your life, understanding those boundaries, but still having yourself rise up to the occasion to be the manager of your life. And because that's what the Queen of Diamonds does, you know, the Queen of Pentacles, she, you know, her own finances, her own worldly possessions, she's got it figured out, you know, that independence, determination. And I think you're feeling a shift also. Maybe this last full moon did something to people, Michael, because I'm feeling a shift in energy with people, you know, but that's different. So good on you, Audrey. Keep in mind your boundaries, and I want to say, don't overwork yourself. Don't get tired. So, just keep that in mind.
I like it.
All right.
Wendy next, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's our last card, or did I miss
somebody? No, we can't miss Dawn.
Oh, we can't miss Dawn. All right, well.
Tag team it.
All right, well, Wendy, you're up next. I thought this was kind of funny. We went from number 6 to wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that person lowers their personal entropy and the world becomes a better place.
Ace of Wands, the Ace of Clubs here, Wendy. Oh, man, that's successes through achievement. Now, we know your son got married, you're back from your trip, you know, and that's a kind of decompress, you know, busy time. And then that rethinking. Oh, she says she had that card entropy back in January. Well, this is a rebalancing of your energy and getting back on track. And all those little achievements that you had before, building on them, but new achievements are on the way. So right now, I just say it's kind of collecting all your knowledge and information. And I think that I see some pretty cool stuff coming up ahead, Wendy. So especially, you know, sometimes those little achievements can mean more than the big ones, Michael. Mm-hmm. And look, it could be as simple as, oh, I'm going to clean out that closet. Or, you know, and those little things. But this is bigger. Yeah, it's some cool stuff is coming. So just balance your energy. Yep. Thanks, Audra, when I told her don't tire yourself out. She clocked 111.6 hours the last pay period for 2 weeks. Wow. And she said, I'm not tired, I'm exhausted. Yeah. Well, Audra, you know what to do. You know, it's, you gotta look after yourself, so, hang in there.
All right.
Thanks for the feedback, though. Okay, we have Dawn.
All right, Dawn. Tonight for you, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, the Queen of Hearts, Queen of Cups, I love that with insight and wisdom. That's tapping into femininity, insight, intuition. What I get from this is things are clicking, not just at an emotional level, but it's like a spiritual level. And then the mind starts kind of reviewing things and you feel different. You feel stronger. You feel more empowered, but it's from the inside out. And that actually becomes quite unshakable, Dawn, that no matter how certain energies outside yourself, you can hear people manipulating or strategizing and you say, nah, I see right through that. You know, it's kind of arriving into a new place of self. And I think this is really cool. Michael, I got to tell you, I've had a few clients on my own this past week, and I can see the shift in people. It's something is shifting. That there's a strengthening of energy internally for folks. So
it does seem to be kind of out there, doesn't it?
It does.
Kind of shifting a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool. I'd like to just share what.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, do you want to read it? Go ahead.
Oh no, by all means.
Go ahead, read it, Michael.
Dr. Jeff had just shared that he has some big doctor appointments coming up. He has an eye appointment to see about dealing with a narrow angle glaucoma. He's meeting with a cardiologist, and he's not worried, but these are parts of the puzzle. And how he's moving forward and addressing those kind of health challenges. So I just wanted to say thank you for sharing. And then I thought you might want to remark on it as well.
I feel like your mind will be set at ease there, Jeff. You know, it's you're going to be just fine. You're going to be good. I want to say, lately I don't know, I've been, you know when you get that inertia? Michael, you know, kind mm-hmm. of inert, you know, sitting there saying, what do I do with myself? What's next? And I do stuff. Don't get me wrong. But then I play solitaire on my phone. I had a big talk with myself today. You need an art project. Well, I've been kind of in a dry period, shall we say. And I said, that's it. I went in my art room, sat down, looked around, got out some wire, building armatures, and I decided to make about 6-inch tall gray aliens, just because I love aliens. I have one I made out of paper mache. I call him Fredo. He's about 4 feet tall. And made him years ago. Not a really good thing, but that was my first big attempt. That was a big piece. And he's out on my deck now, so all the neighbors can talk about him. But so I thought, just to do something. You know, I've got to get the energy moving. My brain has to focus. I need to do this for myself. So I want people to be reassured. We might do the show. We host the show. We can teach at the school. We can do a lot of things, but we're just folks. We're just people who go through everyday stuff like everybody else and have to have those talks with ourselves about yeah, like Audra, maybe you need to cut back on some of those hours and take care of yourself. And, you know, or other times we have to kick ourselves a little bit to get moving again. So it's, you know, all of us go through these things. You know, there's family dynamic, people dynamic. Oh, I go shopping and I have to people. Oh, my God. You know, it's so we all have those moments. But where are all of us are kind of pieces of art, you know, where art in motion, And we have to continually, and I do, remind myself, how do I want to create my day? How do I want to create my life? Because that's up to me. So, you know, just a little reminder, sharing. If we don't share that, we just sound like we're cool know-it-alls up here, Michael, and we're not. So, well, we know some stuff.
I mean, just whether I am a cool know-it-all or not has no bearing on the fact that I act like a cool know-it-all. So, I mean, maybe I need to have a reality check, but I'm way, way away from rock bottom on being thinking that I'm right about everything. So don't worry. We got years of me thinking that I'm right about everything. But no. It's been a good discussion, and it's been great catching up with everybody tonight. I always like having Dr. Doug Kelly on. I hardly ever talk to him.
That's smart.
A few times a week, maybe. But no, it's been a good discussion, and I think we all need to remember what, you know, we all need to focus on that thing that gives us something to look forward to, that hope that, you know, tomorrow can be better, or that, you know, that we're adding something to the mix, that we're adding something positive to the mix and being a force for good in the world. Put your lives back into their proper order. You know, that is, you know, incredibly meaningful, and I think that is, it's a important principle, because it's going to differ from person to person, right? And, you know, and enjoy your free will to do some stuff that's a little zany, you know? Don't just do stuff because everybody else does something. Do something that's just interesting, that's fun, you know? Try something. Put bananas on pizza. I think they do it in Brazil. I wouldn't try it, but God. Hey, be brave. Be brave. But, Dr. Vic, any last thoughts while we're wrapping up?
No, just don't let them push you around out there. You know, folks, just stay true to who you are. No road rage. You know, just chill out. And we're all good. Well, you know, we'll get through it. We'll get through another day.
No road rage unless they're going 20 miles below the speed limit. For legal purposes, this has been a joke to lighten your day. But no, the last thing I'm going to say, don't be afraid to laugh at it, you know? A wise man once said, if you take life too seriously, you won't make it out of life. So, you know, it's going to be serious. It's going to be tough. Don't be afraid to laugh at it. Have some fun out there and enjoy it. So, well, thank you all for being here tonight. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.